Good evening, and welcome to the most exciting show on the internet, A Fireside Chat. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight, we welcome Andrew Fell, author of Standing in God's Light in End Times. In this book, the predictions concerning end times are relayed by Armand Marsat. Armand was a famous clairvoyant, widely known for his decades-long work with detectives, as well as for his early fame of being John Wayne's personal psychic. In this groundbreaking new book, Anne and Armand discuss the end times that we are awakening to right now. In addition, Anne has done a great deal of research on ufology and on paranormal activities and psychic phenomena. So, should be a great show tonight, folks. Let's welcome Anne to the show. Hello, Anne.
Hello there.
How are you doing tonight?
Ruffle, like a ruffle on a dress. Not Druffel.
Okay. How do you spell? How do you pronounce it?
A druffle.
Druffle. Okay, like a druffle bag.
Yes.
Okay, that's easy.
Yes.
And what about Armand's name? How do you pronounce that?
That's Marcotte.
Marcotte.
Jewish French Canadian. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I should have known that. I have French Canadian blood myself.
Oh, good.
Let's. You did several corroborations with Armand, and. This is your last corroboration, and I think the audience would enjoy hearing how it all got started and, you know, who he is and who you are, and also how you communicated with him after he passed on.
Well, in the early 80s, he was speaking for a co-author to get a book called A Psychic and the Detective written.
Uh-huh.
And he had had a bad experience with another co-author in the previous decade. The man had essentially stolen his work and put only his name on it. But Armand forgave him. He was a very spiritual man.
Uh-huh.
Armand was. And so we wrote The Psychic and the Detective together. And then we wrote Past Lives, Future Growth, which is about the Western theory of reincarnation.
Oh.
And both of these books were based on his intuitive knowledge of these subjects. And then I would do the objective research in real time, verify what he was saying intuitively.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same way that Standing in God's Light in End Times was written too. He had given nine readings on his intuitive perceptions of that end times were coming near in the 90s. And they were taped, of course, and I transcribed them. And we had the major part of the book written when he died in 1999. And then, of course, in 2000, I thought, well, I've got to finish this book. And I sat down at the computer, and two other chapters sort of just seemed to flow because they were partially written before he died. And then it took until about 2003 before I had enough time to do the research on the remaining four chapters.
Okay. Well, that's quite a story. What... I think everybody's really starting to focus on this idea that we are in the end times now. What are some of the things that Armand pulled from the other realms, or from, you know, from higher information? What did you find out over the years that you worked with him?
The main predictions are in the book. He predicted specific dates of certain things that would happen.
Uh-huh.
He predicted the a war of good versus evil, which apparently is going on right now.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell which one is which.
Well, I have some information about that if you're interested.
Yes, I am very interested.
But let's see now. There was what subject was I talking about?
Oh, yes, about the signs of the end times. The dates.
The dates. And then the thing about Armand was that his predictions did not indicate that we would be totally devastated, that a huge meteorite or a comet would strike the Earth and that all humanity would be wiped out. His predictions are not like that.
Oh, good.
he predicted that there would be chaos during the end times, but that groups of people would gather together, even either in communities or in research organizations, to fight certain aspects of that end times, of the chaos of end times. But that these groups would work together. Each one would take a separate or two or three aspects of the chaos, but they would all work together. And that he said eventually that that would bring about a peace in the world, somewhat of an evolved society, where we would have a peaceful life rather than the chaos that is going on now and will continue.
Well, it would be the first time this planet has ever had an evolved life, I think, don't you?
Well, of course, there are evolved people.
Yeah, yes.
Many. You have very many friends, and I have many friends who are spiritual, good people.
Right. But it does seem that the predominance at this time is of the other persuasion.
Yes, the fact that the name of God is being phased out in our culture, even in the American culture.
Yes.
It's being taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
And, you know, this is part of the chaos that's going on, the destruction of our traditional American culture.
Yes.
Maybe not total destruction. It won't be total destruction, according to Armand. But it will be chaotic and has to be fought, things like that are going on now.
One of the things you just said was about forming small groups. That's very similar to things I've read and heard about. That the extraterrestrials that are working with us, the star beings, will be forming groups and working on specific issues. Is there any correlation there, do you think?
Well, I did not address the thing about extraterrestrials in the book because Armand gave no predictions about that.
Okay.
But he did talk about star babies.
Oh, he did.
Born toward the end, toward end times. But he did not specify that these were extraterrestrial or hybrid, you know, half human, half extraterrestrial. He named them star babies, but that they would be somewhat like the indigo children that are described by a lot of researchers. And he said that they would have blue auras around them.
Wow. And, of course, they're now... The indigos are practically common knowledge, and there's crystals, and there's rainbow children, and it's almost as if they're coming out of the womb already awake. So that's definitely something that's coming true, and in large waves of births as well.
Yes, according to Armand, these would be humans.
Right.
Human children.
Right.
They would not be involved in the UFO beings
hybrid
at
programs.
All, but of course other people have different ideas, and
well,
I'm open to everything.
Yes, well, there could be it could be many different forms of children with advanced abilities.
Yes.
You know, you've done a lot of UFO research and on alien abductions. I am sure you've bumped across the idea of ET and human hybrids. Yes.
Well, I've come across it, and of course I have a database of about 400 abductees that I've worked with.
Wow.
And many of them have described having had hybrid children. But I'm a very objective researcher, you see. I need scientific proof.
Right.
Of whatever someone is telling me. I will listen to them respectfully and work with them.
Yeah.
But then I seek the scientific proof behind it.
Right.
And there were two cases in this area where a very rational, productive women were describing that hybrids had been, children had been taken away from them by visiting extraterrestrials. And we researched that through doctors.
Uh-huh.
Who did a very intense research, and both of those cases were discovered to be a normal gynecological abnormalities.
Huh, interesting.
In other words, sometimes, you know, the fetus just disappears or is absorbed back into a woman's body if it is not meant to be born.
Huh. I could understand why a baby would want to back out and go the other direction in these times. Armand also got into the Antichrist and some of the more biblical prophecies and the Vatican and 9-1-1 and the United Nations. Would you like to talk about any of those things?
Well, anything you'd like me to talk about. I would like your audience to know that this is an extremely complex book. It addresses a lot of subjects, and in fact, it's sort of three books put together.
Uh-huh.
And that's partially because the co-author died 5 years before it was finished, but partially because of all of these complexities were discussed in his 9 transcripts that he left behind.
So, you did a wonderful...
I hope I don't offend anyone, because some of the information is very political and controversial.
Well, you can say whatever you like on this show.
All right.
So go ahead.
What would you like me to address? What question would you like me to address first?
All right. There's a couple of things. 9-1-1 is a big issue in this country, and a lot of people, there's a big movement that feel that there's something rotten in Denmark. And nobody has been able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt or come up with a smoking gun. Well, there's probably a lot of smoking guns, but was there any information about 9-1-1 that we'd be interested in hearing about?
No, there was no specific information about 9-1-1, but Armin did predict specifically that the war, which would become a worldwide war,
uh-huh.
of good versus evil would start in 2002. And I was able to link that with the fact that 9/11 had happened,
right.
which Armin did not talk about. But then when we went into Afghanistan and formed a coalition of nations to help us fight the Taliban,
uh-huh.
who had caused 9/11, that was active by 2002. So I thought, this is possibly the meaning of the 2002 date that he had given for the beginning of the war of good versus evil.
Well, if that was 2002 and this is 2007, seems like we'd be pretty much right into the thick of it right now.
Yes. Yes, we are in the thick of end times, according to Armin's 9 transcripts. And the groups that he talked about that would form are here and fighting various aspects of the chaos. And there's hope, of course, that there will be brought about a period of lasting peace.
There's a lot of speculation that the end times will reach their culmination or their fruition by 2012. Is that a date that came up in Armand's readings?
Yes, in one of his readings he says, I like to think that as end times come upon us, and they aren't really end times, but the beginning of a new type of existence on earth, that people will learn to develop spiritually and teach each other peace and love. And then he said perhaps the changes are related to the second coming of Christ, as Christians and Catholics believe, or perhaps it's related to the coming of the Messiah that the Jewish people expect, or perhaps even related to the Mayan calendar, which indicates the end of an age in 2012. So he did mention that, but he wasn't sure which... Perhaps they'll all happen. I don't know.
But at
end of an age, in the Mayan calendar and in the Mayan mind, it did not mean that the earth was going to be totally destroyed.
Right.
It meant just that a society, the Mayan society, would take on a different aspect.
Well, I know a lot of people seem to view this as a time of transformation, that there's some kind of a shift in awareness, an awakening, you could call it, that's going on right now, and that it's that awakening to a higher consciousness and a connection or a reconnection back to source energy rather than material that is causing this shift.
That would be more like I would interpret it to, and I'm sure Armand, that it's not the end of the Earth,
right,
the meteor smashing into us and wiping out humanity.
Right.
But some people are saying that the Mayan calendar 2012 is the end of the Earth and of mankind, but I do not agree.
Yes, I would agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the end of mankind as we know it.
Perhaps,
but,
or perhaps the end of warfare?
Yes. I think it's time for everybody to lay all the weapons down and start treating each other with respect and love and convert the war machine into something that's more conducive to peace. Now, the Catholic Church, there is a certain amount of material in there about the Catholic Church, and some people say that there's an Illuminati thread in there or a dark Luciferian group that's running the Catholic Church. Is there anything to that thought?
There is nothing about the Illuminati.
Okay.
I've read about that.
Yeah.
But I can't speak about that because I haven't researched it enough.
Okay.
But the Catholic Church is having great problems. And, of course, you know about the trouble with the priests and the pedophilia.
Oh.
But, of course, that is just maybe 1% of priests.
Yeah.
And that is less than the general population for pedophilia.
Yeah.
And, of course, the pedophiles are in other religions as well.
Oh, well, yes. They go through all walks of life, don't they?
Yes. I'm not excusing the priests. Don't
right.
get me wrong.
Right.
But it is a very a bad problem with the Catholic Church right now.
Yeah.
But the thing about the Catholic Church that we address principally is that there was a vision of the Virgin Mary in 1917 called the Vision of Fatima,
mm-hmm.
the Visions at Fatima,
uh-huh.
where Mary appeared to three little shepherd children six times. And on the sixth occasion, there occurred what was called the Miracle of the Sun. And each time the 13th of the month came along, there would be more people gathered together at this place where the little children said they saw Mary.
Huh.
And in October 13th, 1917, at the sixth appearance of Mary to the three little children, there were 70,000 people gathered in those fields.
Wow.
And it had been raining all night, and all of these 70,000 people were soaked, but they were standing there,
jeez,
you know, waiting. And suddenly the clouds above parted, and they saw what they perceived to be the sun whirling around in the sky, sending off many, many different colors.
Huh.
A huge orb of light, which they perceived to be the sun. And then suddenly, after some minutes, this orb dashed toward the earth as if it was going to strike the earth. And many of the thousands of people there thought it was the end of the world. But then the orb, this great orb, went back up into the sky and took the place where the sun would be.
Wow.
And the people, the 70,000 soaked, rain-soaked tourists, found themselves perfectly dry.
Whoa.
That the earth was perfectly dry. And so the Catholic Church investigated this for a couple of decades, you know, to find out if this really had happened. And it was eventually perceived to be what is called a public revelation.
Wow.
In other words, it's worthy of belief.
Wow.
by Catholics. It's not a private revelation. It's
wow.
a public revelation because 70,000 people had witnessed this miracle of the sun, it's called. But the reason, one of the reasons why the Virgin Mary said she appeared to these three little shepherd children
uh-huh.
was that said she wanted the her Immaculate Heart consecrated, that she wanted Russia consecrated to her Immaculate Heart. And with when this was done by the Pope and all the bishops of the world on the same date and time, that Russia would be converted and that a certain period of peace would be granted to the entire world. So it's this has been taken up by a organization called the Fatima Center.
Wow.
And this is in Canada and the United States. It's also in India, in Madagascar, many, many countries.
Wow.
And we are trying to get the Pope to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary because of this promise of a period of lasting peace.
Wow.
But the popes have not done the consecration as Mary had requested.
Really?
They have consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but not specifically Russia. And in trying to figure out why the Vatican is so reluctant to do this simple consecration, it would take an hour and a half at the most. We have discovered that the popes down through the past decades have been urged by certain church officials, high Vatican church officials, not to do it because it would offend the Russian Orthodox Church and would offend Russia to have Russia consecrated to the Immaculate Heart. And that's the only reason we can find out why the Vatican has not done this simple consecration, which promises peace in the world.
Wow.
You see.
Well, what about offending Mary and offending God? I would think they'd be more concerned about that.
Yes. Mary has appeared in many places throughout the world since 1917.
Wow.
And in Medjugorje, there's in my book, there is a picture that Armand had worked on, and also scientists had worked on with us. And it was a picture taken by a pilgrim who was at Medjugorje. I think it was in Bosnia at the time. I don't know if it's Yugoslavia now, but it was in Medjugorje, Bosnia. And he was impelled to take a picture of a hillside while he was walking up to what was essentially a sacred site in this area where Mary appeared. And he was impelled to take a photo on the hillside. He didn't know why, but he did. Then when he processed the film, here's a picture of what is essentially, apparently, the Virgin Mary. But she is looks older. Most pictures of Mary or statues, you know, show this young girl, this young virgin girl. This is an older woman, very sad face. And this is discussed in one of the chapters in the book. So you say that what is Mary thinking about this? I think she's getting upset, shall we?
Yes.
And we don't know why the Pope will not do this consecration, because even atheists who talk to Father Gruner and the other academics in the Fatima Center say, well, what harm would it do to do it?
Yeah.
Even if it didn't work, there wouldn't be any harm. Atheists are saying this to Father Gruner.
Yeah, that's amazing. I can't understand it myself.
No, neither can I.
I mean, well, except that, you know, as Armand said, it's a battle between good and evil, and, you know, there are probably forces of people who represent the dark T-shirts that, you know, may not want a peace on Earth.
It's very possible.
You know, there's a lot of energy that gets, you know, thrown out the door when there's war, and, you know, everything is energy, so... it seems like our Earth has been embroiled in wars for a long time.
I would. The Fatima Center had a conference in Spain and in Portugal just the last October, And they termed the theme for the conference "The Last Hope for Peace," because even they are speaking about the Antichrist and the end times.
Now,
and you very seldom get Catholic organizations speaking of end times.
Yeah. Now, did Armand talk about the Antichrist at all, or did he have any thoughts about that?
He did not specify.
Okay.
But he specified that the last chance for tranquility, to avoid chaos in this country at least, would happen in 2000. And I was able to link that with what is called the multilingual mandate, that was an executive order signed by President Clinton in August 2000. And it was done without any knowledge of the people, knowledge of the voters, knowledge of Congress, nothing. He signed this multilingual mandate in which it is specified that in this country, all the people who live here, they speak 325 languages instead of just English, like we used to. And all of the federal and state and local benefits have to be given to people in their 325 languages with translators paid for by the taxpayer.
Good night.
And this costs, we estimate, around $70 billion a year. that is one of the things that has to be changed, you see.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's discussed in the book.
Wow.
This is it's linked to one of his precise predictions.
Well, not only that, but that was around that same time there was the beginning of the North American Free Trade Agreement started to come around, and the merging of Canada, Mexico, and United States is actually happening, and they're building a major freeway all the way through the United States right in the middle.
Exactly. Also done without any knowledge of the American people or the Canadians or probably most of the Mexican people.
And not possibly, not even of our own, congressmen and senators.
Exactly. It's done by...
It's all being done...
Bush knew about it.
Under the wire.
Bush. And why he does things like that, I have no idea, but that is part of the chaos that's going on.
Well, I wouldn't want to point any fingers, but it seems that everything he does is geared towards escalating that chaos.
Most of what he does, he's done a few things that I approve of, but most of what he does, I cannot understand at all.
I agree. Let's see. Can you think of some of the other things that people see, like the miracle of Fatima, the miracle of the sun? I'd never heard of that before. This book came out, and we don't seem to get that information. Of course, the Catholic Church, people in the Catholic Church probably hear this through rumors. But are there other things like that are going on around the world?
You mean appearances of Mary?
Yes, or other appearances that are considered otherworldly.
Well, there's another one in the book, another paranormal photo that Armand and I and a scientist did a great deal of work on, and it's linked to something otherworldly. It was a photo taken by a woman called Vangie Santos, a very nice, intelligent woman.
Uh-huh.
And she was at Thornton, California, at a certain celebration of the Fatima, of Our Lady of Fatima.
Uh-huh.
It was also done on October 13th, and she was there in a church in Thornton, California, where this procession was going on honoring Mary and other saints, and she took some pictures inside the church there, including one of Our Lady of Fatima. And when she processed the film a few days later, she found what seemed to be angels hovering around the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And she was astounded and took it to Armin Marcotte, who was a friend of hers. And he gave it to me, and we got a fine photogrammetrist, Dr. Vernon Miller, to study it. And if you see the picture in the book, you can't mistake these for anything else but angels, you know, four angels hovering around the statue.
Yes. That's the one where the angels are up in the right-hand side, isn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Very unusual. I mean, it's quite a profound picture. You can't miss them, you're right.
Exactly. And you see, this is linked with the experiences that Armin himself had. He had had two visions himself of Mary. One that's described in the book when he was a young sailor off the coast of India, where he apparently died temporarily, and he was found himself up in a heavenly realm, and Mary was there, and she was showing him a cousin who was a very fine friend of Armin's, who had passed over from a horrible accident, and Armin didn't know about the death of his cousin, but the cousin seemed, you know, well, he was happy to be there, although he was still shocked at what had happened to him. And then Armin pleaded with Mary to be allowed to stay because it was so peaceful and beautiful in this realm. But she said, no, you have work to do. And so he found himself back in his bunk, and his fellow sailors were hovering around him because they thought he had died.
Wow.
That is also in a chapter in the book.
Yeah, he was quite a deep and spiritual and loving man, and I know in one part the you mentioned that he was acquainted with Sai Baba and had been to India several times.
Yes, he had.
And then one thing he said that I thought was really, really poignant. He does a reading for somebody, and he said, it's telepathy. It translates. In God's world, there's only one language, and that's telepathy. We hear what the spirits are thinking and what they're saying, and even though it's in their language we don't understand, it translates automatically.
It did to Armin, to some very fine psychics, that they cannot understand a language which comes through from a person that does not, you know, speak their own language, a soul that is trying to communicate with them. But there's a chapter in the book called The Language of Souls, and it's a marvelous chapter. This is one that we finished before Armin died. And in the reading that Armin gave for the daughter of this man who had passed over, and she had not been able to be in Mexico when he died, but her sisters were all there when he died. She felt so sad that she had not been there. So she had Armin try to contact him in the spirit world.
Oh, I think we have a caller.
Oh. tried to get him to yes. And the language, I have a transcript, a recording of that reading that he gave for this lady, and he's talking in Spanish, and he was interpreting Spanish that was coming through from this Mexican man who had died, you see. And
that's
so
amazing.
He says the language of souls, that there's just the one language.
There's a really interesting story, too. This one was very moving. He develops a relationship with John Wayne, the actor, and he meets a bishop, Bishop Arceo, is it? I think it's...
Yes.
Yeah, and it's really a fascinating story about... you know, the bishop establishing a facility for orphans and the needy children. Can you talk a little bit about that? It's a really moving story.
Well, it wasn't that Armin met Bishop Arceo. But that the Bishop Arceo had been working with a priest called Father William Wasson, W-A-S-S-O-N. And it was the priest who had been able to establish an orphanage in Mexico for orphans that were roaming the street.
Yeah.
And this man was an American, but he had found himself in Mexico because he felt drawn there. And he became a priest there, and he established this orphanage under the guidance of Bishop Arceo.
Yes.
In that particular province, and now there are several orphanages all over Mexico and Central America where orphans are given the very best educational Montessori school.
Yes.
Education.
Yes.
And It's a wonderful thing that
it's
that
a beautiful
Father
story.
Awasan.
It really is.
Yes. Armand worked with Father Bill for years. He contributed much money.
What was John Wayne like? He seems pretty much like he's privately he's pretty much like a screen persona.
Armand thought that John Wayne was a very very good man, a very, very good man, and he says this in the book, and he said at the basis that John Wayne was a spiritual man, he was able to give advice whenever John Wayne would ask him about things, and then John Wayne would, you know, he would decide himself if he wanted to follow what Armand was telling him intuitively.
Yeah.
But Armand was known as John Wayne's psychic for I guess a couple of decades at least.
Yeah, quite a long time.
Yes. There's a picture of John Wayne and the young Armand Marcotte in the book.
Yes. He looks like a very kind and nice man. Both of them.
Yes, both of them, yes. They got along very well.
Yeah. So what can people do today? I mean, what do people need to know about in this time at 2007? What can we do to prepare ourselves and to, is there anything we can do, or what is the bottom line to these times? What should we look forward to? Or should we turn towards the spiritual pursuits and so on and so forth?
Armand wanted the book called Standing in God's Light in Forgiveness and Love at first.
Uh-huh.
But it was titled In End Times. But he felt that if each person could learn to love and forgive from the heart, from a spiritual motive, other people, even those that had done wrong to them,
yes,
that this is the way that people themselves can evolve and be among those who will survive the chaos of end times,
yes,
and be among those who will help the ones who have not been able to forgive and love,
yes,
to enter into this period of peace that is coming.
Yes. I don't think it gets any clearer or more profound than that.
That's right. There are whole chapters examples of people that he worked with privately, examples of forgiveness and love by individuals.
It does seem to be a necessary part of the process of doing the inner work and of evolving to something higher.
Yes.
And it requires a lot of letting go of, you know, the past and the present and just, you know, moving forward. And, you know, we only hurt ourselves when we cling to our bitterness and our anger.
Right.
While we're approaching the last part of the show, before I forget, let me ask you what your website is so people can go and find you, and how can they get your book?
Oh, sure. There are numerous ways they can get the book. One is it's on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And it's on BN.com.
Okay.
It's on my website, which is www.andruffel, timelessvoyager.com.
Okay.
It's, of course, it's on the timelessvoyager.com, which is the publisher.
Yes.
And then there is an 800 number for the publisher. He has a special price for people who want to call that 800 number. It's 800-576-8463.
Great. Wonderful.
But the book is available on all of those websites and others, too, I'm sure, if they will Google it. And
Yeah. And it's called Standing in God's Light in End Times.
Yes. It's by Anne Druffel and Armand Marcotte.
What would, if you had to say, of all the things that you could share tonight, what would you pick to be something that you would like to leave our audience and our listeners with as, you know, maybe, you know, your own thoughts or inspirations?
Well, of course, I wrote the book with Armand because I was convinced that the things that are happening to worldwide cultures, the chaos of worldwide cultures, and the impact of the war of good versus evil have to be fought by individuals in groups and even in communities, if that's the way they want to do it.
Uh-huh.
And there are many examples of groups that they can join. Most of them are free. Free. You can send faxes to Congress and Bush and everything like that about the chaos that's in our culture today. And of course, the Fatima Center. Do you want me to give that number for the?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, it's 800-263-8160.
And does the Fatima Center have a website?
And you don't have to be a Catholic to, you know, to access that and participate.
Is there a website for the Fatima Center?
Yes, it's fatima.org.
Oh, that's easy.
Yes.
And do they have descriptions of the event that you mentioned, the Mary and the, you know, the orb, the sun?
Oh, yes. Yes, they have a... I think it's a monthly, it's a small magazine. It's more than a newsletter. It's a small magazine.
Mm.
And the people can get free copies of this.
That sounds really
just
interesting.
Just by asking for them.
Wow.
But, of course, you know, a small donation is always acceptable.
Well, yes, of course.
But the information is free to anyone who wants to request it.
Now, there probably have been numerous miracles since the miracle of the sun. Of course the Catholic Church is tracking of the miraculous things, and how does that work? Do they have to investigate and then they basically make a pronouncement that it is indeed this or that or the other thing? Or
well, yes, there have been visionaries all throughout maybe the last century, all over the world, in Japan and other countries, in which Mary has appeared to them with basically the same idea.
Yeah.
And these are all described in various issues of the Fatima Crusade is the name of their small magazine. It's written by a very fine intellectual academic.
Oh, good. You mentioned that there's the possibility that certain officials in the Catholic Church are wrongfully interfering with American politics. How is that happening?
Well, this is a sample of something that that is very controversial and may offend some people.
Okay.
But when the fence, you know, the border fence, was okayed by Congress, both the House of Representatives and Congress okayed a 700-mile border fence to help with illegal immigration, which is out of control.
Yes, it is.
There was a high Vatican official who made a public announcement that went all over the world that it was inhumane to build a border fence as we had proposed. Now, this is interference in American politics by the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
And I am a lifelong practicing Catholic,
yeah.
But I resent it. that their interference in politics. A nation without borders is not a nation, Ronald Reagan once said.
Amazing. What do you think is behind that? Why would they, what would be the agenda there?
I don't know. The American Conference of Catholic Bishops also has the same idea about illegal aliens from wherever they come, from, you know, from the 30 to 70 countries that they come over the border.
Uh-huh.
I'm not just speaking about Central America and Mexico. I'm speaking of illegal aliens from all over the world who flood over. The Catholic bishops, the majority of them, feel that illegal aliens should be welcomed in our country. That they have a right to live here and to work.
Huh.
And, of course, they are not considering the fact that Middle Eastern people are coming over the border disguised as Central Americans.
Yes.
And they come here to join jihadist cells in this country.
That's right.
And God knows how many jihadist cells are planning more 9/11s because we are let them over the border.
Yes.
And because the Catholic Church says it's okay, illegal aliens should be allowed here.
Yes, yes.
They're clueless, in my estimation.
Yes, it would look that way, doesn't it?
Yes. Not all the Catholic bishops feel that way, but the majority do.
Hmm. What were what was Armand's, what were his last years like? What did he do, and what did he... Did he see hope for the world?
He saw hope for the world because of his visions of Mary and his knowledge of the Fatima Crusade and the Fatima Center.
Uh-huh.
He always hoped that, you know, that the world, that Russia would be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which would bring about a period of peace. He never stopped. He died of cancer, and he was diabetic. He was losing his eyesight toward the end, but he never stopped. He just he lived on his little ranch in Mesa, Arizona, and he was a wonderful man. I miss him dearly.
Yeah, I get that sense from the book that you know, he was just, you know, quite an amazing person, very, very deep and very loving, and just somebody that you would feel his presence, you know, and feel warmed about being around him.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you been visited by him since he passed?
Not in any way that, you know, that I sense his presence or anything like that. But in 2003, after I had finished two other books, which had, you know, taken up a great deal of my time.
Uh-huh.
No, 2004, I began to receive information from various sources that fit right in with the rest of the book that hadn't been finished,
you see.
And it flowed in from emails from people that I knew, emails from people I didn't know in my mailbox, on the television, the radio.
Yeah.
These things that just fit right in with the unfinished four chapters. And I was able to write those four chapters quite easily.
That almost sounds like you had quite a few moments of synchronicity.
Well, it was either synchronicity or Armand's help, or probably both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I'm sure Armand was helping.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. You know, I think we all experience those times when everything just flows naturally, and you, no matter which direction you turn, there's something just very personal that inspires you, and then you might look at the newspaper and there's something there that, you know, fits in with just what you were doing, and it all starts fitting together like a gigantic cosmic puzzle.
Exactly. Synchronicity.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been
experiencing... It's a paranormal phenomenon.
Yeah, I've been experiencing that a lot the last week or two.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and I've been... I'm in a few groups on the Internet, and it seems that a lot of people are having that experience right now, that, you know, the energy seems to be more intense. It's shifting into a higher gear, and I'm working on a book myself, and... after months and months and months of it just sitting there gathering dust, all of a sudden I just got up and started working on it, and then there was a piece of the puzzle on my computer screen, and some other things flowed in, and it's just exactly like what you were talking about.
Wonderful. Oh, my, wonderful.
Isn't it nice when that happens?
Oh, yes. What is your book about?
Well, it's a book about, it's an inspirational book about my spiritual experiences and my recovery from a number of addictive substances and HIV and AIDS. And so I'm hoping to, you know, it's my intent anyway, to get that. It's a message, you know, it's a message of hope, just like your book.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, it's a way of saying, you know, there is life after life.
There is.
And we're headed for something really wonderful, and we're in it right now.
Yes.
You know, and just being able to speak with wonderful people like you and all the other great guests I've had on the show, is it just validates continuously that, you know, all of us are on the right track, that we can't be off the right track. We are all on the right track, and we're headed for some very positive and, you know, maybe disturbing experiences, but, you know, we just have to relax into it and accept and let it be.
Yes, and fight what aspects you can.
Yes.
With others who feel the same way.
Yes, yes. And don't you find that people are meeting up now, like you said, in small groups, like almost as if they're soul groups or soulmates that are finding each other?
Well, that's happening too, but
yeah.
I'm thinking of the ones described in my book are groups that have hundreds of thousands of members, like numbersusa.com. Which is fighting illegal immigration, trying to bring back, you know, a cultural peace to our country. That we sent, I think it was 3 million free faxes to Congress and to other government officials last year.
Wow.
3 million.
Well, you know, that really does make a difference.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, we can see that the wheels are turning slowly, but they are turning.
Yes.
And once, you know, the Congress and those people who are supposed to be our elected officials, they simply cannot ignore the plea from their constituents when 90% of them are saying, don't stay in Iraq, don't do this, don't do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, change the course.
Exactly.
Instead of stay the course, it should be change the course.
Yes. I agree.
If the course isn't working, isn't it like hitting your head with a brick to continue doing the same thing? That just seems stupid to me. You know, if you do something 1,000 times and it doesn't work, you know, a stupid person doesn't learn from their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think the American people and the world at large is a lot smarter than these slick politicians that have their own greedy agendas at first hand.
Yes. Some of them have been in Congress too long.
Yes, yes. Gets a little cushy in there, I'll bet.
Their beautiful pension and their beautiful
Oh, yes,
salaries.
And the luxurious conference rooms and the jets and everything. Yes,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't blame them. I would probably do that, too. But you know, the times are changing, and they're changing faster than we can even comprehend. So, you know, we're going to have to learn how to turn on a dime, and those people who claim to be our representatives are going to have to listen to us and do what we ask.
Exactly, because the American people have awakened.
Yes.
And we are telling them
absolutely
what we want and need.
And we are a sleeping giant.
Exactly.
We are a sleeping giant
has awakened again.
And we have been awakened, and you know, we've been snoring and sleeping and you know, drinking at the wheel, but once we sober up and we see the condition we're in, the American people have the will to do anything.
The
and
example
we will.
The groups in the book, I mean, these are the American people that everybody, all of your listeners can join. They can find, they're not all, they're, you know, only one of them is a Catholic group.
Yeah, yeah.
They can join anyone they want.
Yeah, and just find what resonates with you.
Yes.
You
yes.
know,
I've joined about 7 of them.
Oh, really? You're quite a little rebel rouser. Well, Anne, you know, I think we're just about at the end of our time, and I want to thank you immensely for being on the show and for sharing your experiences and talking about your book and about Armand, who's a wonderful man. I was reading the book a couple of days ago, and I just had this warm feeling of love wash through me, and I thought, ooh.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, I wondered if that was Armand.
Oh,
but
I just
all of a sudden the back of my hair stood up on end, and it was like it was as if I was right there with him.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
I want to thank you, and I encourage everybody to check out your book, Standing in God's Light, in End Times, Anne Druffel and Armand Marcotte. And it's been a delight speaking with you.
Oh, I thank you so much, Lance. It's
oh,
been
you're
wonderful.
Very welcome. And take care and keep up with those projects. You're an inspiration and a hope to all of us.
Thank you very much, and good luck with your book.
Oh, thanks a million.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.